I've just recently gotten into the superhero stuff. Deadpool's still my guy, but that was a good movie.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to have provided that.
Yeah, I really appreciate being cultured, so thank you.
And how long have you been doing this podcast?
It was like March.
Okay, so still, I mean, relatively new, but...
We're growing our fan base, yes.
Must be a great thing to be doing now. I mean, we're all constantly looking for things to busy us during the time.
Absolutely.
Be a great way to sort of pass the time. And
our biggest breakthrough was Paige watched the Lord of the Rings trilogy, and it just really burst my soul, so I'm happy.
Sure. I mean, that's a big undertaking.
Yeah, that was a lot. I'm still recovering, actually, so...
Did you like it, or you're just a bit winded from the whole experience?
I really actually liked it. I thought I would hate it and be like, absolutely not. But it was not only tolerable, but semi-enjoyable. So
yeah, I'm sure J.R.R. Tolkien would be thrilled to hear you give that glowing praise. It was tolerable. I did not hate it.
Love that for me.
Welcome back to another episode of And Here's Why. Paige, why are we here?
Thanks, Lauren. We're here because God... We're here because Gotham is yet again in peril, and one must rise to stand against the forces of evil. That is, the Dark Knight.
Bum, bum, bum. This episode, we have a very special guest that joins us.
Yes, today we have here with us evil vampire cult leader, Joe Dinnicle.
Hey, well, thanks so much for having me and for what a impressive intro. I appreciate
Thank
that.
Thank you.
I'm Joe Dinnicle. I'm currently a socially distanced actor. I live in Los Angeles. I've been an actor my entire life. And more than anything, I'm just a big fan of movies and theater and books, and just I gobble it all up. So I'm always thrilled to talk about it in any capacity. So thanks so much for having me on.
Of course.
Yeah, we are so excited to get your take on this movie, because obviously we have our opinions, but you know, when you're actually in the business, I'm sure there's so much that you pick up on and just the way that you see things in a different light. So we're really excited for you to share your opinion with us and with our listeners. So let's dive right into this 2008 film. But before we do, Joe, what made you choose this movie as our topic?
This movie, which came out, 12 years ago now? I was 24 when this movie came out. I was just at sort of the perfect age for it. I just think it's everything that going to the movies should be. I saw this movie at a midnight screening on opening night.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't do a lot, but I was obviously very excited for this movie. And I just, it's one of the movies that not only didn't disappoint at all, but I just came out of the theater buzzing. I felt like I knew something other people didn't. I remember I came home to my girlfriend at the time and was like trying to talk to her about it at like 2 a.m. She was not
She's
interested.
She's like, I don't care.
Not interested. She's like, you know that I didn't come with you to see the movie, right? Like, I don't care what Batman is up to. I don't know. I just think that, you know, as a fan of movies and even more so going to the movies, especially right now when we can't do that, this movie just like it delivered on all levels. It was like it was fun, and like it inspired like the child in me, but it was also kind of heavy and serious and just a well-made film. Like
definitely,
it just sort of checked all the boxes. And I just like, there's been very few times in my life when I've walked out of a theater feeling that sort of excited and just thrilled. That's sort of my overview of why I like the movie so much.
Just right off the bat, you've got Christopher Nolan, you've got Christian Bale, and Heath Ledger.
The dream team.
Yeah, nothing can go wrong. I mean, there could be things, but...
Well, here's the thing. So, I don't know. I'm guessing you two are younger than I am. That's my guess. You don't have to tell
yes.
me. Yes, but you are, for sure. So, you got to remember that, like, when this movie was made, the idea that Heath Ledger would be a good Joker was not a thing anyone was talking about. He was not, like, a character actor. He was sort of a young leading man. And the idea that he would play the Joker, I remember just being like, well, that's crazy. What a crazy idea. That's ridiculous. Yeah. So on top of it, on top of him being good, it was also wildly surprising to watch that movie and go, oh, he did it. He really did it. Like, and no yeah. one, I don't think a lot of people were really expecting it A, to be good, and B, to be that good.
Yeah. Paige, what, as a first time watcher, again, what was your first reaction just into the opening scenes?
So I love a movie that starts off with some spicy action scenes because it just really grabs my attention. I'm like, dang, this is going to be a good movie. And I was not disappointed. I thought it started out great. I don't want to get in this like too far ahead of the game. But just with the Joker, have you guys seen the new movie? I think it's just called Joker or The Joker. Yes.
Yeah.
So I have a whole different idea of who the Joker is now that I've seen that. So I feel like I really enjoyed the movie knowing what I know from seeing that. I felt like I just understood him better. He made sense to me. And I thought that Heath Ledger did an amazing job being him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought it was amazing how it started. Start to finish, it kept my attention. And if you know me, that speaks volumes. So...
gets up to get another snack. Yeah.
Oh, I got up like 6 times to get a popsicle, but I paused it every time. Like it wasn't a let me run to the fridge real quick. Like we had the full on pause.
Love that.
The one thing I will say that I hated, and let me know if you guys feel the same, I hate Batman's grungy voice. It makes me so uncomfortable.
So then really you'll hate to know that they made it even grungier and rough post-production.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, they actually went in and edited the voice.
That's one of those things I feel like, you know, don't try and reinvent the wheel. I feel like Michael Keaton did the perfect thing, which is just whisper and not talk very much.
Mm-hmm. That's creepy in and of itself. So like, we're good.
I think if you feel you need to disguise your voice, Batman is talking too much. Like, I think yeah. it's got to be short, one-word answers, very cryptic, very mysterious. And if you're having to do yeah. whole sentences, it's probably written wrong. So I agree with that. I mean, I think that's an occupational hazard of going like, well, I got to do something with this voice. And, you know, I don't know what the other answer is. He does that. Like the idea of Batman in a real world, you can't just sound and the bottom of your face look and sound like Bruce Wayne. That's like Superman wearing glasses. It's not a realistic disguise.
Yeah, he was definitely not nearly as mysterious as Michael Keaton, but I mean, anything could kind of beat Ben Affleck at this point.
I mean, I think, you know, Ben Affleck got caught in a couple of bad movies. That's, you know, as an actor, I go, not entirely his fault. You know, I don't know that he would have been a great Batman necessarily, but I also think, boy, was he.
He did the best with what he had.
That's exactly right. And
gotta give it to him for trying. You're right.
Whoa.
Also, I loved how at the beginning, just when they were kind of panning through, I think it was the detective's office or something. Mm-hmm. They were trying to see Batman suspects, and it was Abraham Lincoln, yeah. Elvis, and a Yeti.
Right.
Seems probable, I think.
Bruce Wayne, not even on the radar. Kind of looks like him. Could definitely afford it. Not even thought of.
Yeah, he's just playing it too cool.
Yeah, well, except for to Mr. Reese, of course.
Well, sure, exactly.
I think you mean mystery.
I just don't understand. So I had read something that was like, oh yeah, Mr. Reese is supposed to be kind of like a playoff of the Riddler because his name is Mysteries.
Oh, Mr. E Enigma, I think is the...
Well, yeah, but and it was supposed to be a playoff of that, like, ooh, mysteries. And I don't know. He just didn't...
I just thought of like a Reese's Pieces. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what it was, but...
I mean, I think you just wanted...
Food's always on the brain.
Yeah, you just wanted another snack at that point.
The popsicles weren't cutting it. Continue.
I just didn't understand that whole Riddler. Like, he seemed very irrelevant to me, other than that he's like, ooh, I'm going to tell on you, Mr. Wayne.
Ew.
Well, I think that's probably like, you know, when you make something, and I don't know, but I can venture a guess that when you make something with very rich companies like Warner Brothers and DC Comics, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, right? I mean,
oh yeah.
I think it was after that movie that, because it made so much money, Christopher Nolan can kind of do whatever he wants. But before that, you know, you have a lot of people going, well, are we going to see Robin? Or, you know, we want to see the Riddler. So you're doing, you know, one of the skills of a great director, especially a director of big movies like that, is not making a good movie. It's shepherding a movie through the studio system and making sure it comes out kind of the way you wanted it to be, the way an artist wanted it to be, as opposed to the way a group of executives wanted it to be. Because if movies were always what executives wanted it to be, they would be an absolute mess. So
right.
I think stuff like that is, and again, I don't know, but I would venture a guess that it's like, oh, look, we're doing these little nods to the canon so that people are sort of placated along the way so that they can tell a fairly, not down the center, but a fairly dark crime story, which is not typically what comic book movies are.
I thought it was awesome too, just amongst my research.
Oh Lord.
It's not just a story, like obviously the title, Dark Knight. I found out, I guess, more that it was also a nod towards Harvey Dent and how he went from being the quote unquote white knight for Gotham, and then it was his downfall. So the title isn't just, you know, about Batman. And I would not have made that connection at all had I read that article. So I don't know. I thought that was cool. And just, I guess it's just been years since I've seen this movie.
Well, I think also what one of the things that works so nicely about that movie, and it's sort of akin to things like the original Star Wars movie, is that it plays on these sort of epic themes, and it does it without shoving it down your throat. You know, The Dark Knight deals very succinctly with the theme of order and chaos, which is
how
scientists or theologians would say that the universe is held together. That and what's great about the movie is by the end of it, they, you know, I think the Joker says it where he says, like, without you, there's no me, and vice versa. Like, you need me and I need you. And that's sort of a nod to the great paradox of life, which is that ain't a sweet without the sour, that without order, there's no chaos, and without chaos, there's no order. So it's, I mean, I think, and again, even the name refers to that, the sort of the duality.
Right.
So I think that's what's cool about movies, and whether it be movies or comedy or any art that can kind of give you that sense of our place in the universe while you're watching a Batman movie is pretty cool.
I agree with you, definitely. I feel like there were a lot of themes going on in the movie, but if you didn't know any better, you would think it's just another action movie, just another superhero movie, you know, but really like diving into all these different things happening, like especially with what happened to Harvey Dent, you know, he let something that a lot of people will go through affect him. Like, you know, him losing, what's her name? Dawson.
Rachel.
Dawes. Yeah. When he loses her, like that's his breaking point. And I feel like for us as humans, you know, sometimes losing someone or just when tragedy strikes in general, like that's all it takes for us to almost like flip our switch of humanity. And it's like, you know what? I don't see the good anymore. And it could lead you down a really dark path. So I was like, dang, that's really deep, you know?
Well, I think that's sort of the benefit that a Batman movie can have over some of the other superhero movies, just insofar as he's not really a superhero. He's just a guy. And so
just a guy being a dude.
Just a guy being a dude with a mask. And so like they can sort of, you know, movies at their best hold a mirror up to humanity, and a movie like that has to hold up a pretty big mirror, right? Because we're watching big, but within that we can go, well, I might not have my face burned off and turn around and turn into a mass murderer, but like, you know, someone cuts me off in traffic and I feel that rage
and
we can sort of live vicariously through these people. Like, I'm not going to put on a mask and fly through my city, but like someone is on their phone in a movie and I want to, you know, I want to rip their head off in front of everyone and get like a standing ovation. You know, these are like, but we, of course you can't do that. So we have movies and it, yeah, I don't know what you guys are doing in your respective cities.
No, but, I'm pretty passive. So,
okay, that's good. That's good.
I do wish the Lauren Mobile had intimidation feature. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
That would be iconic.
Lauren, like, I don't know what happened to her. Like, 2 years ago, we're driving around. Someone could, like, basically sideswipe her car. And she's like, oh, excuse me, buddy. Or, you know, just so like, oh, yeah, it's fine. We're fine. And then recently saying words I didn't know were words at strangers that like maybe don't use their blinker. I'm like, who are you? The rage is real.
You know, you drive long enough. It's funny. I realized the other day, I only really drive now these days to go to see my girlfriend, who's like the only person that I see.
And it'd be like that. And,
so I don't really drive that much, and traffic in LA is like still pretty bizarrely low for by LA standards. And so I came home the other day and I was like, oh, I don't have road rage. Like, I just haven't had road rage in months. You know, it's like a weird silver lining to this whole thing. You know,
you're like, this is what peace feels like.
Well, you got to find these things, especially right now where you're like, well, at least I'm not screaming at someone for doing something that I definitely just did 20 minutes ago. Right.
That is so true. It's the small things. Someone holds the door for me now and I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you. I didn't have to touch that nasty handle myself. They basically just sacrificed their own life for my well-being. Like, you know, it's the small things.
They got COVID for you.
Exactly.
And speaking of chaos within cities, yeah. I mean, the Joker was just tearing up my city, Chicago, born and raised.
Oh, no way. But if you're going to look at it as Chicago, you got to remember, like, really, they just shot that movie there. So it actually brought a lot of jobs and infrastructure. So in a way, thank you, the Joker.
Yeah.
I just remember they tried to hide the fact that they were filming The Dark Knight. And they're like, oh, it's Rory's first kiss. And we're like, yeah, right. Batman is right there. Right? Like, what are you talking about? Who the hell is Rory? Like, that is Christian freaking Bale. Chicago PD kept getting called because they were like, oh my god, there's a police chase. And it's like, yeah, sweetheart, that's a movie set, you're fine.
Just in like a half a million dollar car, like someone's just casually like, it's fine.
Yeah, it was a Lamborghini. I can't remember what type of Lamborghini it was, but
I don't know anything about cars.
I don't either. I just assume they're really expensive because I've never seen them.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not trying to hate on Batman. Okay, he's a good guy.
But
I mean, I'm not Batman, so don't, it's not, I don't take it as a personal affront. Don't worry about it.
I'm like, don't tell him I said this, but okay, you know, he seeks justice, but he's not trying to annihilate the enemy. And I have a problem with that. He doesn't want to stoop to their level because he's got a moral code that he lives by. You know, he refuses to succumb to his own dark impulses, whatever. And that's why I'm more of a Deadpool fan. You know, he just takes care of business. Gratata. You do what you got to do. And then Batman's like, justice is served. Or justice is served. And I'm like, literally, I just can't agree with it.
I mean, here's the thing. My girlfriend and I have been watching The Walking Dead for the last couple of months, like just going through all of it.
Oh, God.
I know.
A whole nother beast.
Sure. And, you know, arguably not a great time to watch a show about the end of the world, but
you got to be prepared.
But one of my gripes is, like, I do the math every episode. I go, if everyone killed 10 walkers a day, in the 10 years, they would have killed over 1 million walkers. It wouldn't be a problem in Atlanta anymore. I don't like
it would not.
I don't know what. And every time, like, there's three of them after someone, they like lose their minds and they fall over. You're like, you've been at this for 10 years. But
yeah,
the reason is that
he has real feelings. We should have done Walking Dead. Should have done it.
We'll do a part two, guys. I will say this. I liked Deadpool. The reason I don't love it is because I don't really care about anyone in Deadpool. And the reason I don't care is because the stakes are low. If everyone can just die and he can just be kind of killed, but he comes back, there's no stakes in that for me. Now, I understand what you're saying about Batman. The movie would probably be 20 minutes if he could just kill the Joker. But because he can't, there's a moral code in place. So that sets the rules of the movie, right? Like every movie has to have rules. And movies are usually bad when they don't have rules or the audience doesn't know what the rules are.
Right.
What's great about The Dark Knight is the rules are the Joker will do anything and Batman can't kill him.
I totally get that, and I respect it. I just hate it so much. But, like, you know, it is
I know. I know I'm being, like, your teacher about it. But I agree with you. You're like, that's how I feel about The Walking Dead. I like it. But every time Carol falls over with two walkers, God. I'm like, how long have you been at this? Maybe it's time to take up something else.
Don't even get Lauren started on her. Don't even.
Oh, no, they got your arm. Dude, wear some protect. Like, I don't know what they're doing. It's like they're constantly out of their depth. And you're just like, what? Isn't this what you're doing all day, every day?
Yeah, it's their occupation at this point. Like, let's do better.
I do have a little bone to pick with the Joker. So I'm not calling him a liar, but I'm calling him a liar because when he was bedside, Harvey, half his face charred off, you know, the whole thing, he was saying, I'm Mr. Chaos, like, don't even, I don't have plans. And I'm like, homeboy, you do plan. Like, you're not just like, you. None of this just happens by chance. Like, you totally plan all of your stuff. Like, you were planned to get caught. You plan all these bombs in all these different places. And you're like, woohoo, you must choose who will die. And I'm like, homeboy, that is a plan if I have ever freaking seen one.
Yeah.
Well, arguably, the lie to Harvey Dent is also chaos. Like, that him lying to him is another chaos where he goes, I don't plan. And you go, yeah, but you do. And he's like, exactly. You can't trust a word I say. It doesn't matter. That's what he's saying. It's like, it doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I do. Chaos will reign supreme.
Ugh, dang. Here I am, upset. He got me. Awesome. So glad that I got pwned by a fictional character.
To be fair, though, he's on a whole nother level. Like, I actually just rewatched The Joker the other day. It was on. And just even rewatch, I didn't watch the whole thing again, but rewatching the portion that I did, I was just like, wow. Like, and that guy, what was that guy's name that played that Joker? It's something.
Joaquin Phoenix?
Yes, he did amazing. I was terrified, heartbroken, so many emotions. And I thought he killed that. But just, I don't know, seeing how the Joker, he just went through a lot. And like his mental stability obviously isn't there. And there's just so much going on. Again, I'm so glad that I've seen that and watched it now. Because I'm like, yep, he is a psycho. But like, I don't know what else to say.
But he's also just mentally ill. I mean, it's right. A weird like, really pulls the rug out from under your enjoyment of a Batman movie when someone's like, you know, he's mentally ill. Maybe give him a break.
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, this makes me feel uncomfortable because he's still doing very illegal things. Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And then also preying on those with other horrible mental illnesses. And he's like, oh, he said I was going to light up like a Christmas tree and then right. Blows Friendo up. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah. But back to when Harvey rolls over in his hospital bed, I was not ready for that. Like, I knew his face was burnt. And, you know, he's, like, kind of rolling to where you can just see, like, over the crest of his nose. And, like, you can tell, like, the flesh is, like, charred or whatever. And when he finally turns, it reminded me of some type of skeleton that I've seen, like maybe in like a creepy cartoon or something. But the way his eye was wide open, like I'm not trying to make light of, I know that happens to people for real, you know, like their skin gets burned off. But like just that scenario specifically, it was revealed in such a, like why would he not have some kind of wrappings on his face? That was terrifying. I'm a little scarred.
Because he was being dramatic.
He was being dramatic.
Well, I hated every minute of it. It was so scary.
Hey, Harvey, your face, it's a little dramatic.
We're going to need you to tone it down.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because even, what's his face? Lieutenant Gordon, he's like, well, you're not accepting any skin grafts or, you know, you keep tearing off your gauze. And I'm like, yeah, homeboy's being dramatic. Like, just let him be. He's throwing a tantrum.
He's like, what's that name you used to call me? And he's like getting all defensive and mad. And when they said yeah. Two-Face, I'm sorry. I laughed. I thought it was funny. It wasn't a dramatic moment. I was just like, oh,
it gosh. Wasn't even. It wasn't even Two-Face. It was Harvey Two-Face. And I was like, wow, creative. Oh, Harvey Two-Face.
I just cringed so hard. Hated it.
And then, of course, just flipping a coin. We'll leave it up to chance. I'm like, wow, you're so bad.
Well, you guys have a lot to say about Harvey Dent.
That's so dangerous.
Got fired.
He just, he starts out such a good guy. And then, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, going from DA to Two-Face. Like, talk about de-escalation.
What a career move.
So did you guys have a favorite character? Because I'm going to be honest, I didn't like anyone enough to say they're my favorite character.
What? You didn't like Gordon enough?
Again, I didn't like anyone enough to have a favorite character.
But Lieutenant Gordon's awesome.
Well, let me ask you something. You mean a person you liked the most or like a performance that you enjoyed the most?
Because those are two pretty different things. Ooh, okay. I meant the character that you liked the most, but let's do the performance thing because that can give me something to talk about. Yeah, good call.
I mean, I'll say this. Like, I think that once in a very, very long while, something like Heath Ledger's Joker comes along. And I'll say this, as an actor, I watch scenes in that movie and I go, that was the first take. And I know that because stuff goes wrong that they would have fixed, but he's so in the pocket that they're just like, he's so alive and he's so present. And every one of his choices is so right on. Like, it's just very rare that someone is that in the pocket with a performance. It was just something we'll see people ape it for years and years. And we had never seen it before that. He also did it after Jack Nicholson, which was no small feat.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it's one of my favorite performances. It's alive and it's electric. It's charming. It's terrifying. And it's it gives that movie, even the other Batman movies in that trilogy or any superhero movies, they largely live and die on the villain because they have to create real stakes. And right. He's one of the few people I think that has really done it. And he made that movie more than just a fun romp. It was like, oh, this is legit kind of terrifying. So I think kind of far and away, that's one of my favorite performances on screen.
No, definitely. When you're describing that and you say terrifying, like for me, when I watch a movie and, you know, someone's trying to play a role like that, I normally don't actually feel uncomfortable, but I did in that because it is so good. I'm like, oh, I'm honestly uncomfortable in like a scared way, not like this is weird way. It's like, I'm truly like, wow, I'm a little terrified. So I agree with you. And I mean, clearly the people have spoken. He won like how many awards for that performance? So
I mean, probably as many as there are.
I think it was like 30 something. So
it was 32, I believe.
Yeah, I'm like, I mean, let's just leave it at that. Drop the mic. We're done. Thanks, Joe.
That's why I keep going back to just the opening scene, even just the ability to get all these crooks working under you and then just to have them doing your dirty work, offing each other one by one. Oh, boss told me, you know, to give you the barrel of this gun the second you were done with your job, bang, bang, bang. And then all of a sudden the last one is revealed to be the Joker and you're like, what even?
See, isn't that the boss you want to be? Like, obviously not having your employees off each other, but just that they listen to you like that, it's like, oh, boss said this, and you're like, yeah, they got my back. Like, that's how I'm trying to be.
I love the idea that bosses are watching that movie going like, yeah, like, I don't want to have to kill you, but listen to me, would you? Jesus. Don't make me do it like that, but, you know, what does a guy got to do? Get a little respect.
not the boss I personally aspire to be, but I mean, it clearly is effective. So whatever floats your boat at that point.
Exactly. I mean, success, you know.
And just his moments of comic relief, just acting like such a little dork sometimes. There was like the small messed up part of me that kind of was rooting for him, you know, because I'm like, would it be so bad if Batman just, whoops, death. Like, really quick.
Yeah, we wouldn't have to hear that voice anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for real. That would have been a win-win.
And then you're like, oh, well, I mean, he is the good guy. So it's what's supposed to happen. All right, let's go, Batman.
Well, good does not always prevail. So, I mean, you know, you never know.
This is true. These are facts.
And one scene that I thought was kind of cool, but also, like, it's disturbing. When the Joker walks into that one party and he makes the knife disappear, that was pretty cool. I'm like, that was disturbing, but it was also really cool. Even the other guy was like, yeah, that's sick. Like, that was my bro, but like, that was sick. So
yeah, prop.
The senator of Vermont was in that shot.
I'm sorry. I do not know the Vermont senator. I only know my own.
Well, let me instill some knowledge on you. I don't know if he's still the senator, but I know he had been for like 30 years or something. But anyway, huge dork, right? Like, just huge nerd, loves Batman and everything. He's been in a ton of other Batman stuff, like just like little cameos.
Oh, that's so cool.
Things like that. Yeah. And so when the Joker puts a knife to that old man's throat after the guy's like, we're not afraid of thugs. Right. And he's like, pachoom. That old guy was the Vermont senator.
What an Easter egg for no one.
Except the people in Vermont. Like, they're probably like, yeah.
I mean, it's like a mildly interesting thing. I don't know that. Like, I'm glad I know it, but like, I don't know who I
You're
would
welcome.
Tell and why.
Exactly.
I would tell
I'll be like, man, that movie, The Vermont Senator, you know, that guy from 2008?
Yeah.
I'm like, he's in the movie. Like, what? That's so weird.
Listen, I read that fact and I smiled. So
right.
That's going to be a story I tell my family at Thanksgiving this year as we're all sitting around the table saying what we're thankful for. I'm going to be like, I'm so thankful that senator from was a part of the Batman movie.
Oh, God. I hate you so much. You're so rude.
I'm sorry. That was so silly. He started it.
I do have a bit of a hot take for you guys. I want to see your feels on this. Batman, you know, average dude with some anger issues. And then we got Iron Man, who's winning.
I mean, Iron Man, that suit is much more expensive.
He's more tech savvy.
I mean, it's like a nuclear device, isn't it? Like,
I'm so thankful you said that because there was, there's actually a board on the interwebs where people have been fighting this out.
Jesus.
If it was in the real world, I'm like, well, it's comics. So,
hey guys, maybe get out to the real world. You know what I mean? I know if Iron Man was in the real world, that would be great, I suppose. But
right,
like,
but maybe go sit in the sun for a few minutes and yeah.
Yeah. Get some vitamin D. Help that immune system out.
Have a salad.
Everyone was just going at it in these comments. And of course, I'm sitting there just like laughing. Like, wow, is this real life? But yeah, the biggest thing was like, well, if it was real life, then Iron Man would not have this, 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 and this. And I'm like, well, it's also comics. So like, this is all false. So you're all wrong. How about that?
If it was real life, kind of takes the wind out of the sails of the whole thing.
I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page, that Iron Man
would. That's a no-brainer.
All right, I'm happy. I'm happy that this is, you know, universally known. I guess Christian Bale's stuntman, there was only one for the motorcycle scene.
Yeah, well, those motorcycles are like very, very counterintuitive and difficult to ride. And there's like one guy who can, like, I mean, even in the movie, yes. You can see like it doesn't go that fast. It's like it's a very clunky, weird thing that like one guy knew how to drive, I think.
Yeah, and that was what was so cool was he said that he had to basically unlearn how to drive like your practical, normal right. motorcycle in order to get those movements. And I was like, how does one even unlearn how to drive? Like, I couldn't even wrap my head around that.
Yeah, I'm a trash driver, so.
Well, yeah, that's a whole nother segment, Paige. I don't think we have enough time for that.
I was concerned. I need to get a new license soon. And I was like, oh, you don't have to do a road test again, do you? Because odds are I'm not going to pass that. So
what was one of your favorite parts of this movie, Joe? Just something that tickles your fancy?
Ew.
I don't think I'll get into that. But, you know, I'll tell you what I liked about the movie, if that's all the same to you.
Part of the question.
I mean, I think the opening is just like it's hard to top opening a movie like that. Mm-hmm. I think the fact that it's not called Batman, because it is kind of about that city, like it's about a lot of things. And I think that opening just sets it up kind of perfectly. It sets it up tonally. It sets up the Joker and the order and chaos themes. Like, I think it's the best part of the movie. I mean, not that the rest of the movie isn't great and lives up to that opening, but it's just such a great way to open a movie, to have this like prologue, basically, where you're kind of like, well, wait, what's happening here?
And also, why are people still living in Gotham?
Great question. Is that,
can I bring that up?
I do, when the world is open, I do stand up. I saw this guy, he had this, I don't want to ruin the whole bit, but he had this great bit about how most of Gotham's problems come from people falling into vats of things, and that people should keep the lids on vats of things. It would really cut down on a lot of the supervillains that come out of Gotham. And it's a good point. Like, don't go there.
Right.
Who's operating now? The Penguin? I'm good. No, it's fine. I'll skip it.
And like, I guess it's different for like the movies, because whatever, it's like supposed to be just these few events that are happening. But like, when I was watching the TV show Gotham, like this stuff just happens constantly. And I'm like, how are there still citizens here?
Yeah, they gotta sometimes like go to neighboring cities to show that it is also terrible there. Because you're right. Otherwise, why would people stick around? If they went to like the next town over and it was like Pleasantville, you're like, well, what are we doing here? Let's everyone move. I mean,
conversations just have to be like, oh, hey, Bill, how was your day? Oh, you know, Nancy got killed by Riddler and his friends. What a weekend, huh? Like, what?
The Riddler's back? Oh, man.
Hate that guy.
I'm going to the Cape for the weekend. This is a nightmare.
And just all the mob activity, it just confuses me. I'm like, no one can love their city that much to where they're like, I will chance death to live here constantly. No, that'll happen -1 times.
Also, who's so angry at a city? Is that a thing that, like, I understand Batman is like, I want to keep this, my town safe. Like, you know, people become, you know, firefighters some few good people become cops, not others, others not so great. But, you know, move. Gotham's got to burn. Why? You know, there's great, move to Paris or like, you know, Lisbon or Cape Town, or there's so many cities. Gotham's got a burn. Yeah. It seems myopic to me.
Because it's like, truly, how much authority do cities actually have? Like, it's one thing if you're mad at like a whole country or something, but when you're mad at like one specific city, it's like, but like, truly, like, what can they actually do, or what are they doing? Because,
and it's never disclosed why they hate Gotham so much.
No, I know. It's just like, I guess the idea is that it's like, it's the hub of something, like in, you know, like in the next movie, The Dark Knight Rises, they just like hold that whole city hostage, and you're like, why?
Yeah, no one knows.
Like, I guess in the world of Batman, Gotham is like the New York City, where it's like, we make an example of what happens in New York. You know, that's why, you know,
when
something
sense.
Tragic happens in New York, it's like a message to the world that, like, see, your great city can be heard. And it's very, obviously very painful and effective throughout the rest of the country and in fact the world. So like
I guess
maybe that's it. You know,
not to put you on the spot, but I feel like you'd have a really good Bane voice.
Listen, it's okay. I have a pretty good Bane voice. Do you want me to give it a try?
Let me.
First, you will watch Gotham burn. Only then
have
my permission to die.
I love it.
Not bad, right?
You need to insert claps, Lauren, when in the real thing, because that was good. I feel like that'd be in true Harvey Dent fashion dramatic. So.
Right.
Oh, the king of dramatics, if you ask me. I saw the warning flags, you know, just when he was flipping the coin, chancing people's fate. And I'm like,
that's a little morbid. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, you're not all there, are you, Harv? Paige, I do expect you to Joker laugh at the end because you just were like, oh, can I Joker laugh? Well, you've backed yourself in a corner.
I don't know if I can. I haven't practiced.
The Joker doesn't practice.
Yes. Well, Heath Ledger practiced for 6 weeks in a hotel room, so that's not fair.
I mean, you were the one that suggested it, so I feel like it's only fair that you deliver to the listeners.
I feel like it's going to be like,
wow. It will. Joe and I will lie to you and be like, that was so good, even though lying makes Joe sick, but he'll vomit after he says it. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, we'll be done. What happens after is my business. Don't worry about it.
Casual vomit. This is all virtual. We won't know.
Oh, gosh. 3, 2, 1, go. Why so serious?
Ew.
Nicely done.
That wasn't you.
I feel like my normal laugh is the Joker laugh. I sound like a walrus that's gasping for air, and I'm
what?
Oh my gosh, my dog is Luna's growling at me. She's like, "Mom, shut the heck up. That's terrifying." Love it.
Well, Joe, thank you so much for joining us, nerding out.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a blast. Where can people find you?
They can find me at Joe Dinical Official on Instagram and at Joe Dinical on Twitter, though I rarely tweet. But I do have a page there. I did the series finale of a show called Blind Spot, which I was on the first couple years of its run. And then I did a movie last summer, which is, you know, hopefully going to start doing some festivals, called Two Deaths of Henry Baker, which is a movie I'm very, very proud of.
I'm so sorry.
Not so much for that dog. it's a movie a friend of mine wrote a long, long time ago, and we've been trying to. It's a very cool, dark, moody, stylized, sort of like a modern Western. It's a very, very cool movie. And so we're thrilled that it's going to start hopefully doing the festivals and come out in the coming year. Although, you know, everything is much, much different now. It's hard to know. But Two Deaths of Henry Baker is something I'm very proud of that'll come out at some point.
Paige, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram at paige.hollinsworth. And then you can find our podcast at inheres_why_pod. Lauren, do you have an Instagram?
I hate how you sounded right there. wait, where can they find little Ace and Luna?
Oh my gosh, follow my dogs, aceface.lulubaby.
Just so they can really put a face to the growl, you know?
It is a private account, and only the select few are allowed to view that premium content. So if you want to see if you're worthy, go ahead and press that follow.
If you're selected. You can follow me at Lauren H. Writes, also on Instagram. I don't have a Twitter because Twitter scares me.
Well, Joe, thank you so much. It was so nice just chatting about this movie and getting your opinion. You definitely brought to light some super cool things, which I'm sure all of our listeners are going to appreciate.
Well, I sure hope so. Thank you so much for having me on. It was real fun.
Can't wait to sometime in the future absolutely destroy The Walking Dead, because now I've penciled you in for that.
Great. I would be happy to.
You shot yourself in the foot on that one, because my feelings on The Walking Dead, I have many.
Listen, it's a complicated, you know, any show that runs for 10 years, you're going to have a lot of good, a lot of bad. Oh, you know, it's tough. It's tough, balancing it. But we'll get into it later. Yep. Guys, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. We'll see you later.